do the work, release from attachment to outcomes. And the last one, which I never really did before, and you don't hear this a lot when people give you the recipe for success, wise choices. I didn't really make the wise choices. I just always went in head first.
Self-interest is something that's like a pivot. Like I had a pivot in my life, right? And then I was like around maybe like 13.
Wow, young.
Yeah, but it was a pivot and it wasn't me. Like I had a good friend that grew up in the same neighborhood. He was coming to me to go to a 7-Eleven. And my mom was pretty strict, but she was pretty cool. And I had to wash dishes. And in the process of her saying no, wash dishes, he left with another guy and went to the 7-Eleven, not knowing that the guy was going to rob the 7-Eleven. So it was a little older guy, older. By robbing the 7-Eleven, he shot the clerk, but the clerk shot him. There's only one other guy that's on camera that is my friend. And he didn't know anything that was going on. And we're 13 going on 14. So he scatters to my house. I let him in the window. You know, I'd be...
Of course.
And to me, that was a pivot. And he went to juvenile court. He went on to prison. And he spent the majority of his life, and I've taken care of him.
Oh, my God.
And I've always had his back. He's one of the smartest guys in the world. But he lived through me. So at that moment, going into the ninth grade, I knew Division I basketball. Boom. Focus.
Focus,
and
yeah.
I was locked in. I was writing letters. I was sending clippings from every newspaper. I was like, I'm going to make it. When you get out, I'm going to get you. I got you like this. To this day, I've been the same for him. But that pivot was me watching him.
That was yours.
That's a crazy. I didn't know that.
He didn't do it.
That's what I mean. He was a poor kid. Like
he was there and didn't even know what happened.
Wrong place, wrong time.
And then they had to put it on someone.
So
that's why I asked, because you seem so intelligent. I'm looking at your brain, like you seem so intelligent that you even navigate things. And it's like, what?
But not then, I couldn't. And so maybe that's an inspiration for people too, because I wasn't mindful. I was sloppy. I was messy. Finally around 23, parents are like, in that world, it's like, we're sending you to college. You're going to be a lawyer, a doctor, or a business person. And I'm like, when I came out of college, I'm like, I broke my dad's heart. I'm like, I don't want to do any of those things. I kind of just want to write scripts. He's like, you're lazy. You don't want to work. That's what we had family members who said they were actors and they were lazy and didn't want to work. They were legit. And so those like blue collar families back then didn't get that. And that's when I went and worked in the carnival business, because we would work 5 months, 6 months a year. And then you worked every day. So you didn't make a lot of money, but the money you had, you didn't spend. So I would take that out to LA to break in the business on my own. So the pivot for me was when my dad was like, well, I'm done with you. Who I loved my dad. He was my best friend. He's like, I'm done. We're done. And so we became estranged and I was totally on my own. So that was probably where I was like, well, geez, if I'm really going to do this, I got to do it. But when I think of like your story, Ryan, and as I'm hearing more about you, I wasn't very mindful back then. In fact, I've only been mindful, I think, the last year or two. It's always just reactionary. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do something, I'll do it. Less think, more do, which I believe in. But now I'm being more mindful of, does that make sense, to do this? I wasn't.
You have a lot of similarities. Like, when I started the relatively the most public of the companies, the studio, like it was a lot of just doing a lot.
Right.
And it was just like, I felt I knew I would be the trailblazer and I didn't care. And I was very public about it. And I would,
you really were
very vocal.
Yeah.
Like
you were brave.
When I did Netflix and like, people came out. It was so funny. I'm cleaning out storage units and I'm finding the old press for like, fucking guy lost his mind. He's doing a deal with this mail order DVD company. Could have done a deal with HBO, and
when they were going out,
and they were attacking me, saying like, "Oh, you're crazy." And
we did. So you, I don't know, do you remember there were these live? So Netflix did this series of they would show a movie in a city, and they would take like Bruce Willis when he had a band.
Yeah.
So Bruce would play, and then they'd show the movie. So Maria, my wife, hosted them. And as we were doing them, they're like, you know, this is really sad because this is the end. We know the DVD thing is dying. This is the end of Netflix. And like, but it was really great. You guys can be part of it with us. And then
we literally signed that deal.
In comes you.
In 2010. I'm not joking.
That could be the most genius thing in show business ever done.
Well, the guy who...
When you think of where it was to where, you know, and then invented the streaming business.
Well, for 4 years, you realize no other studio touched them. And what happened is Katzenberg was my mentor. And he'd always ask me about that. We'd have breakfast every Saturday. And then in 2014, his deal with HBO was coming up. And he knew what Netflix, what we were getting. And I was like, imagine what they could do with DreamWorks. And so their next big deal was DreamWorks. But the joke used to be they didn't call it Netflix. They called it the Relativity Channel because the only movies were Relativity. But they went from, I don't know, $1 billion market cap to a $20 billion market cap. Started with one movie, which was Fighter. That was our very first movie we put on there. And with Wahlberg and, you know, and that one movie. And it showed how, like...
By the way, do you really need to make any other movie? And Fighter is so incredible. Like, you don't really need to make any other movie.
When I tell you that, during that movie, but I want to go back to you because something that's so interesting that you said, and it's like been sitting with me and I'm sitting here, and I think I'm a good reader. Chris and I both read people on the internet once in a while. And I think it's, you know, you said that you failed. And for 20 years, you said you felt like you really, you know, you said, a couple decades, you were like timid when you came back in and you were like, you know, kind of, but then when I hear the other side of what you're saying, which is, you know, you found the love of your life, you found your life partner.
Yeah.
And you realized, it's like, you look, this person's going to be something very special. And again, not about money, but, you know, success in a way of whatever you define success as, right? And virtue, and making a difference and changing lives and doing it differently. And although you were behind the scenes doing it, like what I see is that you took the failure you had, you recognized in some, you know, we can call it, whether you want to call it on an atomic level or on a metaphysical level, that this person has something very special, just like Chris does with athletes. And then you took all your failures and you just said it. I wasn't going to let
happen.
And you put all that into making sure that your partner, you know, life partner had not just success, but also didn't face the same failures you faced. So your failure is a little bit of a different one in that it's probably the most important of any we've had so far, because you sacrificed your own success in a way. Because although you're saying, oh, well, I was timid about it and I wasn't sure of myself, but you were, because you just said, I wasn't going to let it happen to her. So even though you might not have been sure of yourself, you were very sure of yourself.
I was very sure,
You were going to let it happen.
100%. Yeah, no, I had no doubt about her.
Most people come in and go like, okay, well, I failed and now I know not what I'm not going to do it. I'm going to come right back and do it differently this time. You came in and you were like, I don't know that I need it for myself, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm never going to let this happen to this person who I love. And you actually sacrificed, in a way, very successful, but your own success to make sure she was protected, got where she got. And in the process, built the largest network and ended up building your own success anyway. But it's very...
But even the network I built because I wanted to build Maria's version of E.
So
that's what it was. It was for Maria. I was like, you know, I made Maria the face of the company, but it was to protect her. I'm like, you'll be your own boss. You'll have your own network, you know, so... And then it's funny, you guys are giving me realizations, but even any mistakes I made with fails I made with Maria, I didn't make with Mercedes. Absolutely. So now I was like, I would say we got a really big giant offer. And I said, and everyone was all excited, her lawyer, her agent, UTA, everyone was all excited about this deal. And I said, guys, I've seen this movie before and it ends in a brain tumor and a pancreatic tumor. That's my wife, Maria, which is like a big deal, but a very toxic environment, and I don't like the language here, and I just, spider sense is way tingling, and I was right, and I'm like, but I wouldn't have, years ago, I would have been, sign it, oh my God, all those zeros, and I was like, no, but through what? Failure.
When you said, it was so funny, because you were explaining to me, oh, no, mine was different, because I spent decades just like unsure of myself, and I was, you know, not ready to come back for it, but then all of a sudden, when you talked about, you're like, But I knew.
I lit up. Yeah.
And I knew she was going to be sick. Yeah. And I was never going to let her get hurt. And I was like, wait a minute. I just saw you going, I didn't fail. What? I believe so. I have this, you know, maybe naive vision or view of life that everything kind of happens for a reason and that we kind of pick our own paths in a way, even if we don't realize we've done
it. I agree with that.
As much pain as our paths are, we picked it for some reason, in a way. And I just heard you talk, and in 1 minute, I'm like, he's talking about fail, but it's the exact opposite. Like, he met, how many people would love to say, I have the love of my life, and was able to help build them into what they are? And like, you said you were more powerful about knowing what was going to happen than a person saying it for themselves. So like, I heard you say, go, you were put there to say, I needed to fail so that I could go do this for her and you and her together.
Yeah.
And like, put you where you are in your life, which you seem pretty happy and pretty sure of yourself. And
yeah.
Not being a dick, but sure of yourself. Like, you know, you clearly are a very good person who loves your life and loves your wife and loves your family.
Love to help people. And like you talk about on the show here today, like that's another thing too. It's like the more you give, the more you do get. And the more you do provide value, the more you get. And you're going to continue to fail, and then you have to pivot. So even the what kind of now brought me kind of back to the real world, let's say, was Maria's brain tumor and then her pancreatic cancer, which we caught at stage two, killed Steve, the same thing that killed Steve Jobs. Like, who catches it, Steve? Like, nobody catches it at stage two. So, but I just said, okay, Maria, like, I got to get back in the game now. Like, you know, Maria's like, Kevin, I just want to be with the baby. Like, I've been there, done it. I've been since I was 22. So I said, all right, I'll get back in and I'll do it. So now my life is, now I'm back in doing this.
So I'm sorry, just, I don't want to interrupt you, but the only question I have is, so now that you look at that, and I'm like seeing, okay, you go from, you know, working 20-hour days, you know, in a carnival and, you know, wanting to be in movies and want to, you know, but then you go to MTV, then you make your movie, then you fail, then you go back to carnival, then you meet Maria, and then you help build, and then, you know, you guys do something magical together. Yeah. You help with her as the front, and then now you're, you know, kind of back at it on your, I want to say on your own, but back at it more.
Yeah, no, I am, yeah.
But the question I have is, would you change any of that?
No. No.
So then,
not a thing.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you think of it back?
No.
But I'm actually,
no.
The real question is, what is struck? Because when you look at failure is basically someone either judging what you've done. That's from the outside. That's not in the arena with us.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at is a total success story, and where you are in your pivot is good that we're able to put this out in front of our viewers, because there's going to be someone out there that's going to need to come to you, maybe through Schnoo, maybe through someone, maybe through Moon, maybe through Ryan. That's going to need the formula that you put together, because now you have a formula. So when you have a formula in place, you have a system. And with your blue collarness, your system, your formula, your ability to not have to be the face. See, some people don't have to be out front.
Which is harder, because you have to, you're almost sacrificing a little bit of ego, and we all have ego, to step back and do it for someone else.
And then also in business, when your name isn't out there, doors don't open for you as quickly. So you're Ryan, doors open for you fast, but when you're not known, it's a, well, that's not true. Yeah, to the wrong people, you know, but yeah, so it is, it does make it troubling, but you know, I think blinders on, keep working hard. And then, you know, and you guys have talked about this too. The one thing that helped me in the last couple of years with when Maria got sick and I had to get back in the game was really to release from attachments to outcomes. So once that was done, you guys talk about it. Yeah, no, I know.
All the time.
Once I got over that and just said, just do the work, be present every day, do cool things.
These are keys.
You know, yeah.
Because these are keys. You have to say, be present, do the work.
Do the work. Release from attachment to outcomes. And the last one, which I never really did before, and you don't hear this a lot when people give you the recipe for success, wise choices. I didn't really make the wise choices. I just always went in head first, and it served me. But now you get a little older, I still believe in less think, more do, but just a little bit more mindful. Who am I around? Before it'd be like, you guys have probably been there, like the worst, most evil, horrible person in the world would come around and be like, I'll give you $10 million to make a movie. Let's do it. And it's, now you go, you know, woo, you know?
We talk about the loyalty. It's like, when I look back, the peak of everything, the thing that actually took me down from, I would say took me down in a good way, because I would also never take it back, but took me from running the studio to like bringing, you know, where I was, yeah, whatever they were saying, I was the running Hollywood, so to speak, was two people I trusted because they could help get me so much money, because they could help get me so much access, who were literally planning an Atu Brute, you know, while they were signing the ketubah at my wedding. And
yeah, I heard your story.
To this day.
What a violation.
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't also take it back, because when I look around, and my parents say it to me, they're like, you had a lot of those people around you. You just, you didn't want to hear it, and you couldn't see it, because I was running a million miles an hour.
Yep.
I always say I was a lot like a, you know, quarterback or a center, where I was like, you know, they just tell me, just get that ball there and everything else in your life is taken care of. So I had these blinders on. I mean, I didn't know what city I was showing up in. I didn't pack my own bags. I didn't know what time I was waking up. I didn't know where I was eating. I didn't know who was paying my bills. You know, I just knew, you got to show up there, whether it's your, you know, you're closing a deal in India to open a studio, or I'm making a movie that I'm showing up on, and I got to make sure this movie's good. Or, you know, when we built the sports agency, where, you know, I got to get Amari's movie, next movie moving, or whatever it is. It was like, and it's the best thing that happened, because now I always say the older I get, the less friends I have. And it's not because I'm old enough that they're dying, but maybe I'd kill some of them if I could. But it's because I realize, like, your true friends are, there's a few of them, right, and they're around for the right reasons. And you learn. So when you say make wise choices, it's like, it's easy to say, but when you're a kid, you don't know how to make
choices. You're running and running and gunning and running and gunning. Like, you're running the wildcat.
Person, you got someone,
right?
$10 million for a movie, and I just seem like a fine guy. Maybe he's a little bit of a dick, but so what? A lot of people
make our movie.
Yeah. Mm. You can't think that way sometimes until you've gone through it and you're like, it's not worth the money. You don't know it's not worth the money.
You don't know.
And you have gone through that, and he's gone through it, and I've gone through it. And I think, you know, your whole outlook on life now, like where you're, I mean, I see it when you're lighting up, even when you're talking about the people you're helping, not just your wife.
Like, yeah.
What you went through, my opinion, from what I see in here, it's like the classic case of, like, you went through something that you don't want other people to feel.
Yeah, because don't.
The
humanity
in you said, I'm not going to let people I care about go through this.
Not on my watch.
I'm going to find the people that I care about. I'm going to find those good people. You know, you clearly have an eye for spotting talent. I'm going to surround them with the right people, and I'm not going to let this happen to them. And I would say, like, you weren't making bad decisions. You were learning the mistakes so that you could go to your real life purpose, which seems to be to help
a lot of people.